Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, come on. Yeah, we gotta
no more lies. No more lies.
Yeah. Here we are. Here we are reporting. Reporting live. Welcome to another United Commoners of Spiritual Intelligence. You could call it Special Intelligence, but it's not the CIA, but Spiritual Intelligence. And so It's been a minute since we've done a show. I've been busy doing my schooling, so it's been a minute, but glad to be back on the air and have this information transmitted through the airwaves. Because it's important. So tonight, what are we going to go into? Tonight, we're going to go into centuries and centuries ago. We had the Enlightenment era. Excuse me. Where there were many new inventions made and discoveries in scientific and also spiritual thought. It seems that nowadays we are living in an age of information. Through access to the internet, information is widely spread. And you can pretty much find out anything nowadays through the power of the internet and good search engines. Tonight we will go in depth into exploring what it means to be in a new age of enlightenment, a new enlightenment age, especially in the West. We will go deeply into what it means to the evolution of human beings and how we are evolving and our consciousness is expanding into greater levels of awareness and knowledge. So please feel free to join us on another informative and intellectual journey through history tonight, only on United Commoners of Spiritual Intelligence, or you could say UCSI. But yeah, United Commoners of Spiritual Intelligence. It's funny because it sounds kind of like an acronym, you know, for military brand or something. But yeah, it was just, you know, this is for the commoners, the average person that you know, the average individual that comes home, you know, from maybe a tedious day at work and can just put on earphones or headphones and tune into the show and just relax their mind and have their mind open and educated on new ideas, new subjects, topics, concepts. So that's what this is about. All right. So when we talk about that, we got to get a kind of good understanding of what the Enlightenment age was. Okay, there was a lot of interesting people. You know, John Locke. That's where he hit the idea. He wrote in a book. And he wrote about basically the importance of things that many people wanted, like life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, rights. You know, he wrote about this. And when we look at that, we take a look here. John or John Locke. Says yes, John Locke. Thomas Jefferson took the phrase "pursuit of happiness" from Locke, incorporated it into his famous statement of a people's inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the Declaration of Independence. It's a very important piece, you know, to the American philosophy. The American way of life, pursuit of happiness. And so he wrote about things like that. And he was part of the Enlightenment. So when we look at the Enlightenment age, just, you know, brief introduction to what it was, it was an intellectual and scientific movement of 18th century Europe, which was characterized by a rational and scientific approach to religious, social, political, and economic issues. The Age of Enlightenment led directly to the American Revolution and French Revolution, strongly influenced the Industrial Revolution. So it didn't mean, you know, I mean, there was definitely, I think, you know, the respect for religion's place, but also the importance of science, scientific thought, reasoning, our advancements in science, and the different ways of viewing spiritual ideas. What did the Enlightenment thinkers believe? These thinkers valued reason, science, religious tolerance, and what they called natural rights, life, liberty, and property. Enlightenment philosophers include John Locke, Charles Montesquieu, Jean-Jacques Rousseau. All developed theories of government in which some or even all the people would govern. And the Enlightenment, sometimes called the Age of Enlightenment, was a late 17th and 18th century intellectual movement emphasizing reason, individualism, and skepticism. The Enlightenment presented a challenge to traditional religious views. The Enlightenment thinkers were the liberals of their day. So it's not a political thing in that sense, you know, but it was, you know, an intellectual movement, that they challenged ideas. I mean, there was tolerance and there was respect. They challenged certain ideas, and that was part of it. And so you find that John Locke becomes a very important character when it comes to, say, you know, the Declaration of Independence, but not only that, but to the Enlightenment age. And the interesting thing is we appear to be in another age of Enlightenment, okay? Because if you look up, you know, what age are we in? Now, some might say the computer age, the digital age, and this is true. Much has changed, you know, as far. But yeah, you even consider it the information age, also known as the computer age, digital age, or new media age. It's a period in human history characterized by the shift from traditional industry that the Industrial Revolution brought through industrialization to an economy based on information technology. So information becomes very important, and we have all this information. I mean, you can find books, all kinds of books, you know, just online. So it becomes very important. And then how like the computer has changed how we do so many things. But anyways, what makes it an enlightened age? Well, let's look at this. It's important. It's interesting what we look at. They call it, in the East Indian culture, they call it the Yugas. And this explains the difference between the ages. So it says Yuga. Yuga in Hinduism is an epoch or era within a four-age cycle. A complete Yuga starts with the Sat Yuga, the Atreti Yuga, and the Bhupara, I don't even know what I'm saying, the Bhupara Yuga, into a Kali Yuga. At present time, a Kali Yuga, which started at 3102 BCE with the end of the Kurukshetra War. And these are divided in so many years. So the Kali Yuga began approximately 5,000 years ago, and it has a duration 432,000 years, leaving us with 427,000 years until the end of the present age. So when we look at what does the Kali Yuga in Hinduism, Kali Yuga is the fourth and present age of the world cycle of humans or ages. It is also the end of the four age, the compromising cycle, and is often referred to as the dark age. In Hindu belief, the Kali Yuga leads to destruction of the world and then the creation of a new cycle of four yugas. As with any world predictions and other traditions or religions, pundits have attempted to calculate the end date of Kali Yuga. Various dates have been given. But what does it represent, right? This is also called the Iron Age. The Kali Yuga is filled with war and conflict. Spiritually, civilization degenerates throughout the Yuga as people drift farther and farther from the divine. At the end of the Kali Yuga, Hindus believe that Lord Shiva will come in the form of Lord Kalki to punish and cleanse the world, which has devolved to the point of being incapable of enlightenment. The resulting transformation and recreation of the universe is the start of a new cycle of yugas. So the Sanskrit term Kali has multiple meanings. It can be defined as strife, quarrel, discord, or conflict. This is also the name given to the Hindu of time and destruction thereof. So Kali Yuga says the age of conflict, and as it transitions into what is called the Satya Yuga, this is known as the age of truth, virtue, and righteousness. So it's very interesting when you look at, you know, where we are currently. But I say things have definitely progressed throughout time, as they tend to do. Usually, that is the point that we're going to something better. If we are transitioning or we're progressing into something better. So you see this with. Of course, you know, the new age thought, a lot of these ideas are not new, but the discovering of them or the rediscovering of them makes them maybe appear new, or maybe there's a certain change in awareness. And so when you see, and I would not say, you know, just because you have New Age books that these are, you know, books that are accurate, but they open up your mind to new possibilities, right? New possibilities, like the concept of what they call the chakras, right? Well, those are, what are those? You know, those are color, those are wheels, considered wheels of light. But even more to that, there's a psychological correspondence by visualizing these colors in meditation, that these activate certain energy centers or centers of awareness within the human being. But also that they are psychological as well. And then we, of course, have the endocrine glands, which the endocrine glands produce hormones that there's a correspondence physiologically as well as psychologically as well as spiritually. So there's a science to it, and you can even correspond the chakras in the Hindu system with the Kabbalah and the Tree of Life. So there is a connection. There is a connection for sure. And so, I mean, chakras are one of them, but that is part of yogic philosophy. And what is yoga? Well, we look at yoga. I mean, yoga is stretches, right? I mean, it's the scientific understanding system behind it, right? But it's also a philosophy, which means union, right? The kind of understanding of the uniting with the absolute, or whatever you want to call it. The self-realization. Sometimes there is talk of kind of the going and destroying the ego or something like that. I'm not a believer in that. I think that you should elevate the ego and, you know, elevate the ego, but not destroy. I don't think, you know, to destroy when it comes to spiritual ideas, but transform, transcendence. And so that's what yoga means, union or connection. So when we go back here to the Age of Enlightenment, it's interesting because it believed, you know, of course, you know, there was the 60s and there was the hippie movement, but there was a lot going on as far as civil rights. You know, there was kind of the peace movement, the civil rights. But people were questioning previous ideas, you know, and kind of going about it in their own way. And this, in a sense, was represented in an Enlightenment kind of idea. So when we look at it, we are in an Enlightenment age. Say the second Enlightenment age, or a new Enlightenment age. But let me just read a little bit here, history. European politics, philosophy, science, and communication were radically reoriented during the course of the long 18th century, 1685 to 1815, as part of a movement referred to by its participants as the Age of Reason, or simply the Enlightenment. Enlightenment thinkers in Britain and France and throughout Europe questioned traditional authority, embraced the notion that humanity could be improved through rational change. The Enlightenment produced numerous books, essays, inventions, scientific discoveries, laws, wars, and revolutions. The American and French revolutions were directly inspired by Enlightenment ideals, and respectively marked the peak of its influence and the beginning of its decline. The Enlightenment ultimately gave way to 19th century Romanticism. So this is very interesting. And then when we look at a few characters from here, the early Enlightenment, 1685 to 1730. The Enlightenment's important 17th century precursors included the English Francis Bacon and Thomas Hobbes, the Frenchman René Descartes, and the key natural philosophers of the scientific revolution, including Galileo, Kepler, and Leibniz. Its roots are usually traced to 1680s England, where in the span of 3 years, Isaac Newton published his Principia Mathematica in 1686, and John Locke his essay concerning human understanding, 1689, two works that provided the scientific, mathematical, and philosophical toolkit for the Enlightenment's major advances. In his essay, What is Enlightenment? 1784, the German philosopher Immanuel Kant summed up the era's motto in the following terms: dare to know, have courage to use your reason. Locke argued that human nature was mutable and that knowledge was gained through accumulated experience rather than by accessing some sort of outside truth. Newton's calculus and optical theories provided the powerful Enlightenment metaphors for precisely measured change and illumination. There was no single unified Enlightenment. Instead, it is possible to speak of the French Enlightenment, the Scottish Enlightenment, and the English, German, Swiss, or American Enlightenment. Individual Enlightenment thinkers often have very different approaches. Locke differed from Hume, Razou, from Voltaire, Thomas Jefferson, from Frederick the Great. The differences and disagreements, though, emerged out of the common Enlightenment themes of rational questioning and belief in progress through dialogue. So this is very interesting, and to consider this. So thanks for tuning in to another episode. So it's good. We've got some good information now, and it's been a little while since I've done this. So thanks so much for tuning in. I appreciate it, and tune in sometime in the future. Thanks. Auf Wiedersehen.
Gott weiß, ich will kein Engel sein. Ich will kein Engel.